Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday. Robert Greenwald is going to join us in just one moment. The question of the hour is, are we on the right track in Afghanistan or are we on the wrong track in Afghanistan? He has a new film, a new documentary, actually, about the war in Afghanistan. And many of the people who he interviews say that we have neither the wisdom nor the means to determine the fate of the Middle East. We don't understand the culture and that we may be creating more hostility toward the United States as a result of our actions in Afghanistan. Robert Greenwald will be joining us in just one moment. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Pledge Drive, and it's my last hour to ask for your contributions to this particular program. We ask for people to help pay for the programs that they hear. That's how Wisconsin Public Radio works. Please go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to ensure the future of the programming you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. And we have a brand new goal this hour. It's to get 75 pledges by 11 a.m. And I'm happy to report we've gotten one pledge so far this morning. And remember that meeting this goal ensures that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money that we need to fund informative programming in all the months to come. So give online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to help us meet this ambitious goal. And remember, for this hour only, for a pledge of $120, we'll send you a DVD copy of the documentary Rethink Afghanistan. And that's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Robert Greenwald, as you know, has done many documentaries. Iraq for Sale, The War Profiteers, Walmart, The Hyper Cost of Low Price, Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, Unprecedented, the 2000 election, Uncovered, The War on Iraq, Unconstitutional. He's been doing some work on Rush Limbaugh lately as well, so we can talk a very little bit about Rush Limbaugh. He was a big-time movie, miniseries, and feature filmmaker before he started doing very pointed documentaries. Again, if you can pledge, $120 will send you a DVD copy of the documentary Rethink Afghanistan, which has a certain viewpoint on Afghanistan. We talk about many viewpoints, and we have been, I think, more than anybody else covering Afghanistan in great depth over the course of the last year. Pledge with your support of $120. We'll send you the documentary, 888-202-2552.
And giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is easy. It just takes a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. Really, a dollar or two a week adds up to be about $50 or $100 for the year. And all year long, you'll benefit from the programs and all of the WPR programs that you love. So make your contribution right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
WPR is a lot of things. It's a source of news, entertainment, music, discussion. It also helps you get through the day. And for some of you, you listen while you work. I know we have people who call in who deliver mail, and they're listening while they're on their routes. You might be doing housework, you might be cooking, raking, you're in the car, you're cleaning gutters, you're folding the laundry. Your donation supports all the reasons you listen as well, and it helps you get a full understanding of what's going on in the world as you're doing chores, or you may just be sitting and listening and thinking. That's not a chore, but it's something we ought to do every day, thinking. Give now. We always help you with thinking. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552.
And remember, for your pledge of $120 or more, you'll receive the Wisconsin Public Radio member card. And this goes through the entire drive. And what the member card is that you'll get 2-for-1 deals at restaurants, B&Bs, cultural attractions all over the state of Wisconsin. And you know what? If you're traveling, you can also order travel cards for other states and get access to a lot of the benefits nationwide. So make your pledge now for $120 or more. You'll be supporting all of these great programs, and you'll receive the Wisconsin Public Radio member card, plus you'll receive the DVD copy of the documentary Rethink Afghanistan, and that's if you make your call between now and 11 a.m. So you know what? Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and pledge right now.
We have a goal of 75 pledges, Lisa. We have 70. We need 73 now. So we've had some pledges already this hour. Thank you very much, everybody who's been pledging. And for those of you who would like to receive a copy of Rethink Afghanistan, Robert Greenwald's latest DVD, then you should call with your pledge of $120 right now. And the number for you to call is 888-202-2552, or you can go to WPR.org, and we're happy to send you a copy of that. He's done some wonderful work on Walmart, on the war in Iraq, certainly on the war in Afghanistan, which he said he took his family to Vietnam, Lisa, last December. And when he was there, he started reading David Halberstam's book, The Best and the Brightest, and was thinking about the similarities between Vietnam and Afghanistan. He thought they were striking, even in terms of the language that was used about both wars, and it inspired him to do this film. He's decidedly anti-involvement in Afghanistan. We, of course, have had people, our wonderful guest from the University of Nebraska, who joins us frequently, last time from Kabul. His point of view is different, that we need to secure that country. And our presence is important. Greenwald's perspective will be quite the opposite, that our presence there is causing more problems. So he will be with us to talk about why he feels that way in his work.
I like the international focus of some of the public announcers, like Gene Faraca. I just really find that very important, just listening to it on the way over here, actually. So I keep listening because things aren't stale. Things keep getting updated. They do take listener feedback, and they try to change and adjust and grow just like any good plant does. You've got to keep watering it and putting in fertilizer. So I think that there's a strong effort to keep it meeting the needs of the listening public. I'm Diane Ryan from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source of inspiration.
Robert Greenwald will be joining us, excellent documentary filmmaker. He'll be here in just one moment. We do want to thank everybody who has already contributed to this drive or contributes regularly by mail. As a nonprofit public service radio station, we rely on you for the most important part of our income. Please give online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift.
You can give online right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552 to help pay for the programs that you depend on every single day. So help us meet this goal of 75 pledges within the next about 55 minutes to go. And right now, we've received 4 pledges. Thank you so much. And our goal is 75. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. If you give $120, please ask for a DVD copy of Robert Greenwald's latest documentary, Rethink Afghanistan. And again, here's how you get a hold of us, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about how much you learn about current events because of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is a lot. You hear a variety of viewpoints from the experts, but you also hear other viewpoints. Listeners like you bring a unique perspective to the conversation. If you hear yourself saying, yesterday on Wisconsin Public Radio, I heard that, fill in the blank, it's time to make a pledge. So do that right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you could only listen to one radio station, it's fun to play that game sometimes. I'm guessing that it would probably be Wisconsin Public Radio. You get the news. You get all kinds of food for thought. It enriches your life at home, when you're in the car, when you're delivering the mail, whatever it is, radio like this, radio that you wouldn't want to live without, is radio that is, of course, worth supporting. Give now at WPR.org or toll free at 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. If you can pledge $120, about our average pledge, I think, Lisa, we will send you a copy of Robert Greenwald's brand new documentary on Afghanistan.
And I know there are many reasons why Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors. And one of the main reasons is that they want to make a difference. And giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community. Your new membership today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives other people in your neighborhood the chance to discover Wisconsin Public Radio. So make that difference and make that difference right now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And listeners, of course, provide the most significant part of our funding. You pay for what you value. Contribute to WPR right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Lisa. Robert Greenwald is our guest now, producer and director and political activist. Founder of Brave New Films, Robert has done a series of political videos, Fox Attacks, Real McCain, several documentaries, Iraq for Sale, more than several, a lot of documentaries, The War Profiteers, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, Unprecedented, The 2000 Election, Uncovered, The War on Iraq, and Unconstitutional. Before this documentary work, he produced or directed more than 55 TV movies, miniseries, and feature films, including a documentary about the 1972 Olympics, 21 Hours in Munich, and The Burning Bed. He has received 25 Emmy nominations, the Peabody Award, the Robert Wood Johnson Award, and as we are in the ninth year of bombing and occupation in Afghanistan, we are beginning to increasingly ask the question, what is the mission? Is it worthwhile? That's the question that we'll be raising right now on the Ideas Network. And welcoming your on-air phone calls, as we always do. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Robert, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, nice to have you here, Robert. You know, we've had people. We have a guy from the University of Nebraska who joins us from time to time who was a Peace Corps volunteer in Afghanistan many years ago and has been traveling there working on education reform and trying to verify election results, et cetera. His belief when he was last with us, joining us by phone from Kabul, was that we had to secure Afghanistan. It really was important for the people in that country to feel secure. From your visits there, do you sense that that is important, that somehow people need to be feeling safe, and do we have a role in helping them feel safe?
Yes, our role in helping them safe is withdrawing the troops. The troops make life for people in Afghanistan more dangerous, more scary. We have to be very, very clear about this. The reason for the war, for the occupation, has been stated to us as to get terrorists. It has not been stated that the reason for the war is to occupy the country and participate in essentially with an insurgency or a civil war. Number one, if we want to get the al-Qaeda, and by the administration and everyone's statements portray us that there's no al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Recently, Jones said there are 100. Well, to get 100 al-Qaeda, you don't go in and occupy a country, number one. Number two, the people I spoke to over and over again had members of their families lost, killed, villages destroyed because of, as they said over and over again, the occupation of foreign troops. Now, we can help the people, the third poorest country in the world, but it's not by occupying. It's what you would think a poor country would need, which is jobs, schools, education.
The documentary has some alarming footage of what's happened to people who are in the, quote, reconstruction business in Afghanistan, living in mansions, swimming pools, et cetera, with poverty right outside the front door. Are there a lot of people, do you think, who are making huge profits from the reconstruction of Afghanistan?
Well, there's no question. Look, it happened in Iraq without any government. And in Afghanistan, one of the numerous problems is there is no legitimate government. We've seen, you know, the extraordinary corruption and ballot stuffing beyond anybody's expectations. And when I was in Kabul, and all this is available, by the way, if people go to rethinkafghanistan.com, you can see sections of the film or you can order the DVD. But when I was in Kabul, they drove me around. They said, we want to take you to this neighborhood. And I said, what is it? They said, well, we call the style of home here narcotecture, based on narcotics deals.
Oh,
so you literally went from one block where people were truly starving to another block, which was actually turned out to be 20 or 30 blocks. But it wasn't just drug dealers. It was corrupt contractors. It was corrupt members of the Karzai government. And the corruption is pervasive and systemic. And whatever chance we might have and whatever folks might believe about strategies for the war, I believe everyone agrees that there's nothing you can do when there's a government without any legitimacy. What are we fighting for? Who are we protecting? Essentially, it turns out to be Karzai and warlords.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of mission should we have in Afghanistan? What can we do that would help people have fuller lives?
Well, at the end of Rethink Afghanistan, we have a whole section on solutions. And there is no one solution. We show wonderful local groups. There's a group that does jobs for Afghanistan. There's people who are building hospitals. When I was driving around Kabul, the people who were my guide showed me over and over again. They said, oh, here's a school built by India, and here's a clinic built by Canada. And I never saw them point out something comparable. Now, maybe there was, but I didn't see them point out anything in the United States. So I would say you need to divide the answer to that question into two parts. If our goal is security, then you undertake measures that will go after a limited number of terrorists, find them, and put them in prison. If the goal is helping the people of Afghanistan, and it's a very, very different goal, then you undertake, with all of our power and all of our brains, all the resources we have, an aggressive program guided by the people of Afghanistan, not by somebody sitting in an office in D.C. and saying, what do you need and how we can provide it? And it seems pretty simple, which is small local projects that provide jobs, that provide schools, that provide health care. You know, when I was driving around at every street, you see men with guns, and, you know, just thinking what a difference it would be. Instead of 21,000 troops, we had brought in 21,000 doctors or 21,000 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary difference in terms of perception and what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in this administration, of all administrations, which was elected on a change form, what we're getting, sadly, in Afghanistan is same old, which leads to failure, which is military solutions to political problems. It hasn't worked. Doesn't work, and it won't work.
I remember watching Christine Amanpour's documentary on Afghanistan a couple months ago, and she was highlighting some U.S. troops who are actively working to build schools, getting children textbooks, etc., even in places where there are no buildings right now, and they're just doing open-air classrooms. How many U.S. troops are involved in that kind of what appears to me to be very good work?
Well, we don't know the answer to that. What we do know that there's probably 100,000 troops and probably almost as many contractors there. And look, there are wonderful humanitarian, caring members, men and women of the military, but that's not what they're trained to do. We should be having that kind of work, but we shouldn't be having it done by the military. As the people in Afghanistan said over and over again, you know, somebody comes with guns and a tank and offers you candy or food, it put it mildly in our terms, a mixed message. There should be aid workers over there. And here's where it gets really, the administration talks about, well, this can't be won militarily, right? But we have, let's say, 68, 78, 100,000 troops, and there are 549 aid workers. they're going to get that to 900. Well, look at the disparity. How do you really provide alternatives that way? And we should not be asking the military to do what they're not trained to do.
Mm-hmm. Robert, talk about some of your experts in the film talk about these Pashtun tribal areas, rural areas, actually, that are on the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, that we don't understand that culture very well. And so it's resulting in some bad military moves. What do we need to know about those areas?
Well, you know, I've learned so much doing this work, and we have a whole section of the film, which is available at Rethink Afghanistan, called Pakistan. And there's two parts that I think, for me, were eye-openers. One is Afghanistan, the country, is very, very much about tribes. It's not, you know, we all, and we're human beings, and we all work from our frame of reference and our experience. We don't have a frame of reference or experience in the United States around tribes controlling different parts of the country. But that's the total, complete reality of Afghanistan. Depending on which tribe, there are different loyalties and different concerns. So we have to keep that in mind, number one. And then on the larger picture, we have to remember the huge problems with potential problems with Pakistan, given the size of the country, given the corruption in the government, and given how unstable it is. And as several of the experts in the film say, you know, we should, our simple model nothing that will make Pakistan more unstable, and yet driving some of the terrorists into Pakistan and not having a policy that really thinks about how do we help our security with Pakistan is a recipe for potential disaster.
Robert Greenwald is our guest, and we're going to welcome phone calls. His latest documentary is Rethink Afghanistan, and we're in our fall pledge drive. I'm in my last, actually, 30 minutes asking you for pledges for this drive. Here's how you can make a pledge to our show, and we deeply appreciate it. 888-202-2552. Phone calls for Robert coming up in just one moment, and that number 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 for you to join our on-air conversation with Robert Greenwald. And we start our calls with Richard from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Most of the statements that I hear about our goals in Afghanistan seem to me to be entirely aspirational without much practical foundation, and I would like your guest to comment on an example. And that is if you look at something like the Britannica yearbook, you see that the gross national product of Afghanistan is around $600 to $800 million a year. The U.S. government wants a force of police and military of around 400,000 there. That costs about $2 to $3 billion a year to manage. It's entirely out of the capacity of Afghanistan, and if they were to achieve that goal, we'd be there in perpetuity. So I'd like to have Mr. Greenwald's comment, please.
It's a very smart and important point, and no one is raising that. We raise it a little bit in the film. We have a section which is online called Cost of War, and we get into that slightly. But I agree with the caller that this is very, very important. In general, by the way, the more people focus on the cost of this war, which has been, depending on who you talk to, $220 or $300 billion since we began the war in Afghanistan 8 years ago, and there's not a plan. The plan, everyone says, train the Afghans, and then get out. But as the caller wisely says, even if we were to train all those people, the Afghan economy has no possible way to pay for those troops or that police force of that size, let alone the very notion of militarizing a country in a kind of national government way, which has never existed. But I agree, it's aspirational, it's not logical. And that's why, by the way, I think there's tremendous possibilities for bringing this escalation to a halt, because fundamentally, it doesn't make sense. You ask these questions, and it's a house of cards.
Do you think, Robert, that the president is seriously considering the future strategy here? We have a few more troops going in now, but he's looking at a massive increase. Does Joe Biden have his ear now, do you think, or do other people? What's he likely to do?
Well, I try to stick to the factual area, but from all the news reports that we're getting and from people we are talking to in the administration who are helping us with Rethink Afghanistan, who are supportive, it seems that the momentum right now, even with Biden's efforts, is towards some kind of splitting the difference, not sending in 40,000, but maybe it'll be 20,000 or 25,000. I think that would be very unfortunate. We know how easy it is to get into a war and how hard it is to get out, and we know that what that's going to cost us. Cost us another 20,000 troops, it's going to cost us several billion dollars more. And I tell you, you know, you try to be logical and rational about it, but on one level, it breaks your heart and it infuriates you to think of the amount of money, obscene sums that are not available to get people jobs, that are not available to get people health care, that are not available to save their homes, but are available to send military around the world.
Let's go to more phone calls. 800-486-8655. John from Madison is next. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, John. Go right ahead.
I'm getting
feedback. Yeah, just say your statement. There might be something wrong with this one phone line.
Yeah, there's a delay coming through. Well, anyway, Al-Qaeda is not the same as the Taliban, and by every report that I can read, Al-Qaeda has been pretty much decimated. I'm getting feedback, Kathleen.
Yeah, I know you are. If you keep talking, though, hear you.
Al-Qaeda has been decimated. It's not in Afghanistan. According to Joe Biden, it's in Pakistan. So what is the rationale of going after the Taliban, which is not the same as Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan? It's a goal to exterminate the Taliban, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I wonder, I went on the Internet and I tried to find out how many unnecessary civilian deaths have resulted as a result of our 8.5-year occupation of this country. And I get between 40 and 50,000. Do you have any figures on this?
I don't have the figures when we say unnecessary civilian deaths. You know, it's hard to make that distinction. I will tell you that among the most emotional experiences I've ever had is working on the section of Rethink Afghanistan of civilian casualties. We have footage that was given to us. We didn't film it, but a young man gave it to me at the airport in Kabul as I was leaving. He tracked me down through Facebook. And literally, it's a refugee camp where people are in starvation situations. And you have a father, a proud tribal leader, offering to sell his daughter because they don't have enough money to pay for food for her. I think based on my observations and what we're seeing and hearing, there's a tremendous number of innocent civilians. And the last day I was in Kabul, by the way, there were several Taliban who were turning in their weapons, and I went and interviewed them, and they said two things that are relevant to this conversation and your question. One is almost every single one of them had a family member or relative injured or killed by foreign troops. And number two, tremendous disdain for Al-Qaeda. Again, Al-Qaeda is a foreign force. The Taliban does horrible things, but it is not an international terrorist organization. And the obscenity that the military would confuse those two is outrageous. But the fact that, you know, some listeners like yourself are educated about it is important. And by the way, I would urge you to call your congressperson and discuss it with them, because so many of them have so little information, and we're trying to get the film to them and have discussions with them, because there are going to be a lot more votes coming up.
It is true, somebody says early in the film, that more troops will cause more casualties of civilians.
Absolutely. And the civilians, and this is, again, one of the ironies. You know, the discussion is, well, we want to put more troops in to make the people of Afghanistan safer. Well, number one, we haven't asked them. We just decided to do that. Number two, as you say, over and over again, I was told this doesn't make us safer. It makes us targets. We're fearful of the foreign troops. It creates problems and chaos and death and destruction. And look, this is a country that's been at war for 8 years. They're tired. They're exhausted. There's such great opportunities if we would put a focus towards negotiation and reconciliation.
How do you, I don't want to be too simple about this, but I think most Americans who are in favor of the effort would say, as the president has, that the reason we're there is because there are forces. The Taliban were the people who gave harbor, safe harbor, to Al-Qaeda, and they killed 3,000 of us September 11th, and that there are other people there who are being trained in camps. They cannot be given safe harbor. We need to root them out, or we will be struck again.
Well, first of all, as we know, terrorists don't respect any country or any boundary. The notion that by bombing the caves and villages of Afghanistan, we're going to stop terrorism, I think is naive to the extreme. Absolutely, one wants an aggressive, tough, hard policy, which means pursuing terrorists, not occupying countries. Again, the Taliban did give safe haven to Al-Qaeda, but that's no longer the case. And the goal, I believe, is to go after Al-Qaeda or terrorist organizations, members of those organizations, wherever they are. You could argue, you know, you have to go into Florida because that's where the 9/11 was doing a lot of the planning, or Germany or Spain. But you do that with international cooperation. You don't do it by occupying a country, because for every soldier in Afghanistan, every time an innocent civilian is killed or injured, every time a small town is destroyed, we're building up opposition and we're actually recruiting more potential terrorists.
Thank you, John, for your call. Richard is next from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Thank you for the program.
You're welcome.
I belong to a group called the Chippewa Valley Progressive Spirit. And ironically enough, tonight we're showing the film.
Oh, you are?
Rethink Afghanistan at the Heidi Center for the Arts. It's open and free to the public, and anyone in the Chippewa Valley or anyone who can make the journey there to 3 North High, the big old refurbished high school up on the hill. We're showing it in the auditorium, and we have the doors are wide open and welcome to all. My question, or my comment, actually, is we wanted to have a lively discussion, and we didn't try to stack the deck trying to find somebody who may take up the theme of the movie for our side, but we tried very hard to find a Afghanistan war veteran to come and speak, watch the film, and speak to it. And we talked to their parents. In some cases, these young men have been there 3 times over. And the feeling we've gotten from the parents is that there's a, you know, some of these guys are injured. You know, they're still going over and coming back, but there's a very serious reluctance to talk about it, even to their family. So to get them out to speak in front of a group would be problematic at best. So again, I just wanted to thank Mr. Greenwald for his films, and we are showing it tonight, and the doors are wide open and welcome to all.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Richard, for doing this, for showing the film. And again, let me stress how critical it is what Richard and others are doing, which is there's a tremendous, important educational campaign. I really think there's a chance to affect the decision makers, but we need to get out there, use the film, invite the members of the House of Representatives or Senate or someone from their staff to come see it and have a conversation with you. There are hundreds and soon thousands of these screenings all over the country, and we're finding them to be a very, very effective way to reach people. If we can't get somebody to your screening, Richard, but we do have several Afghan vets who we're working with who feel very strongly against the war. And if you email us, we'll be happy to get somebody on a phone or have them come in through Skype for your screening.
And how should they email you, Robert?
They can just send it to robert@bravenewfilms.org, and I will get it to the right person.
Okay. We go next to Mike from Green Bay. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Mr. Greenwell, I want to thank you for all the good work you've done. I think myself and groups I belong to have looked at, I think, almost every one of your important films.
And, thank you.
And we just last week showed the new one, Rethink Afghanistan, and your people, Emily and Ian and others, were really helpful in making sure we had it in time.
Oh, great.
What I would ask you, though, is there's... Can you think of any way to just get more masses of people there? Because when people see it, they understand. It's hard.
Well, I think as with any effort that doesn't have the approval of the biggest media or the president and the primary elected officials, you know, I think that it's solid organizing work. But I tell you, you know, we've seen the public. When we started this in January, we were, I felt like we were probably, you know, 10 of us out there talking about this. And frankly, we were attacked, we were criticized, we lost some significant funding. But it's been such a shift in a few months that I'm extraordinarily optimistic that with all of us doing our work, and I think the most effective work is doing it within congressional districts. I've talked to probably 20 different members of the House. Some of them are deeply unhappy. Others are confused. Others are getting ready to step up. But they all say to me they're not hearing from the members in their district enough concern about the war. So I think that all of us, by having screenings in a congressional district and then inviting the member of the House, we can reach a tipping point pretty quickly. And we don't have to dominate CBS or NBC News. We can come down to getting 30, 40, 50 elected officials who say, I'm not going to vote for more funding because it's coming up and they're going to have to say no.
I have read that you were in Vietnam with your family and you were reading The Best and the Brightest, David Halberstam's book, and you found the similarities even in terms of the language that was used about what was happening in Afghanistan to be similar to the language that was used during the Vietnam era and thus the film. Is that a true story, Robert?
Absolutely. Very true. It was literally, for those of you who haven't read or haven't read recently, The Best and the Brightest, truly word for word, you can cross it out in terms of intelligent, well-meaning people, yet with a certain arrogance that Americans do good can solve all problems, that we know better than anybody else. An ignorance of history was so relevant in Vietnam, so relevant here. A corrupt government in Vietnam, so relevant there, so relevant here. And also, frankly, you know, Vietnam, as Halberstam makes so clear, because Democrats were afraid of appearing soft on communists, they didn't challenge the fundamental assumption of Vietnam, which was the domino theory of communism. And because Democrats, for the most part, are so terrified of appearing soft on communism, but soft on terrorism, they're not challenging the fundamental assumption, which is going in and occupying countries is in any way going to keep us safer. It's not.
You also, and I'd like a little bit more of a history refresher on this, somebody's interviewed early on in the film who says that Afghanistan has been the graveyard of many great armies. Indeed, it has.
Yes, and we reference that in several different sections of the Rethink Afghanistan film, in which people in Afghanistan, other experts, military experts, talk about the fact whether it was the British or the Soviet Union, you know, Soviet Union, cumulatively almost 500,000 troops there, and they weren't able to occupy and control the country. One of the things, by the way, you know, we're talking now about maybe the compromise will be pull the troops out and put them in the cities. You know, 80 to 85% of Afghanistan is small hamlets and small towns, which is another reason in our section in the film around the military, the military experts say you cannot occupy and control this country without hundreds of thousands. Even if you believe in that theory, it's hard to imagine that the United States of America is going to put in 500 troops and however many billion dollars it would be to occupy and control one country. Again, then the terrorists go elsewhere. It's an old-fashioned notion that will absolutely fail if you're focused on security, let alone, and I don't mean to diminish it, the moral issues, human, you know, the civil liberties issues, the human rights issues. But even if you argue on the ground that it's being argued, we need to make ourselves safer, the notion that the terrorists will say, oh, well, they're in Afghanistan, let's give up, is pure nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Finally, the role of women in Afghanistan. So many of us were just appalled by the treatment of women, the deaths of women under the Taliban, and many were willing to send in troops just to make women's lives better, which is no small task in Afghanistan. How does the documentary take this on? Are women safer?
No, women are not safer. There's a whole section of the documentary, particularly because it is such a potent issue for many folks, you know, liberals and well-meaning, well-thinking folks who say, oh, well, we went in and saved and liberated the Taliban, the women. We have Afghan woman after Afghan woman talking and saying they despise the Taliban, but the foreign troops have actually made their lives worse because now they have much of the oppression, either from the Taliban or the warlords, and they're less safe. You know, women and children always pay a higher price for war. And the Karzai government has passed the horrible Karzai law, which basically legalizes rape. They've made deals with the warlords, or the fundamentalists, as they call them when I was in Kabul. And those deals and those arrangements, the increase of rape is up in significant parts of the country. The number of women who are not able to go out of their house is up in parts of the country. Now, there are some tribal areas where it's definitely better for women, but that's not a, it's not the majority of the country. And the notion somehow that the United States was sending in troops to support a feminist revolution is just naive in its concept.
Robert Greenwald, thank you very much for being with us. Robert Greenwald, and he has, it was interesting, a lot of people are showing this film. It was shown in Green Bay and being shown in Chippewa Falls tonight. Rethink Afghanistan is the name of it. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is our fall membership drive. I just have a few more minutes to ask for your support of these hours here on the Ideas Network. We'd like to raise money, and we're here to raise money in support of the programs you enjoy on this station. Please give your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The amount, of course, up to you. We appreciate every donation because every dollar you give makes a difference. Online, give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian, our manager here in Milwaukee, is joining me in our studio. Hi again, Lisa.
Hi, and we have a goal of 75 pledges this hour. And we need to make that in the next 8 minutes. And you know what? The success of this fund drive depends completely on you. So thank you if you've already given. If not, however, you can give right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And remember, you decide the amount of your pledge. And when you give $120, make sure to ask for a copy of the DVD, Rethink Afghanistan. So pledge right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Robert Greenwald about his film. He's a very important documentary filmmaker, taken on, well, even Rush Limbaugh fairly recently, and whether or not he should own an NFL football team. This particular conversation, I'm proud of the work that we've done. Rhonda has booked superb guests for Afghanistan. We've talked with people from Kabul while they were in Kabul. We have really highlighted the resources at the University of Nebraska Center for Afghanistan Studies, Robert Greenwald now with a different point of view about this country. It's obviously a very important issue for us, and we treat it as such. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible.
So put a value on the programming that you enjoy every day. Put a value on what Kathleen just described, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And remember, for a pledge of $120, for this hour only, we'll send you a copy of the documentary, Rethink Afghanistan.
Giving is simple for you. You can give online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you would like to pay. Give now. This is the last few minutes I can ask for your support during this pledge drive. Again, $120, and we'll send you Robert's film, Rethink Afghanistan, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is just full of great stories, and they're what's keeping you coming back day after day. So how many times this past week have you thought about or talked about a great story you heard on Wisconsin Public Radio? Right now is the time to show you your support for those stories and your support of this program with Kathleen Dunn.
We have so many stories. Every day it's something. Every day somebody calls and makes a connection. And sometimes it's really unusual. I am struck. I know Rob was really struck by this. We've done this very long series on healthcare reform, as you know. And a couple of weeks ago, it was Finland. And all these people called in who spoke Finnish. I couldn't believe it. It was just, our audience is so remarkable. They're out there talking about and adding this depth to all of our conversations. Please pledge, donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So give online right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. Help pay for all the programs you depend on and help us meet this goal of 75 pledges within the next 5 minutes. Thank you so much if you've already given at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And remember, you decide the amount of your pledge. And when you give $120, ask for Rethink Afghanistan.
Well, I started listening to public radio, I guess, really when I was in Chicago. And so then when I moved to Wisconsin in 81, it really did seem like it helped me feel connected to a brand new state. Just thinking, for example, of Simply Folk, which I've listened to over so many years, you just feel like you have a personal investment and attachment. I keep listening to it because I feel a personal obligation to keep public radio afloat. Funding is always tight for programs like this, and I think it's one of the last bastions of democracy we've got in Wisconsin. I'm Diane Ryan from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for connecting with the greater Wisconsin community.
And it's your source as well. Please pledge WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your pledge may be $50, $100, $500. We had a $10,000 pledge last week, which was absolutely astounding. Whoever you were, I don't know, but thank you so much. And, you know, who can give $10,000? Somebody could, thanks. But most people can do about $120, which is average, and we'll like to give you a gift, the Rethink Afghanistan, so that you can challenge your mind about Afghanistan, which is quite a major issue here. So pledge your support, $120. We'll send you the documentary, 888-202-2552. Hello again, Lisa.
Hello, and giving just takes about 3 minutes of your time. You'll tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay. And remember that credit cards save us time, money, and paper, and we accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. So take those 3 minutes right now and give securely online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You are a listener of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're part of a community of people who share curiosity about the world. That's what we are, curious people. I like this comment from Linda from Sussex. You enrich my life with knowledge and entertainment each day. You are the conversation that never ends. Ain't that the truth? We're the conversation that keeps on going and keeps on going, and it adds up, and we're more informed, intelligent, and I hope empathetic people. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a few more minutes to pledge for this show.
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes left, and we need to hear from, are you ready for this? 55 people. 55 people in the next 2 minutes. So thank you if you've already given, and remember, you can continue to pledge throughout the news. And if you're getting ready to pledge, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, when you give $120, you can ask for the DVD Rethink America or Rethink Afghanistan. That's at 888-202-2552.
Or Americans, you need to rethink Afghanistan. It could be called that as well.
It's another acceptable title.
Right. Thanks, Lisa, so much. Please pledge, everybody. 888-202-2552, WPR.org. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, Rob Schroeder for on-air production, Lisa Nalbandian for helping us with pledge, and thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges.